Hi, Scopers. This is Mumu. Just wanted to say thank you for listening to our podcast. We hope you're geeking out over the episodes just as much as we are. Before we get to today's interview, I wanted to let you know that this episode is sponsored in part by Audible.com. And if you listen to other podcasts, you know what that means. Go to audibletrial.com/scopepodcast and you can sign up for a free 30-day trial and get a free audiobook download of your choice. Lindsay and I could go on and on and on about what book you should read, but you already listened to us talk enough. Choose an audiobook instead. audibletrial.com/scopepodcast. And now, on with the show.
I'm Lindsay Claiborne.
And I'm Mumu Shu, and you are listening to Beyond the Microscope. Hi everyone, it's Lindsay and Mumu back for another episode of Beyond the Microscope. Today's guest is Dr. Victoria Richmond. She is an aerospace engineer at Harris Corporation. Thanks so much for being our guest, Victoria.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Okay, first off, what is it that you do?
Well, so I'm an aerospace engineer, and I work at Harris Corporation on antenna reflectors that go on satellites that go into space. So I do basically a lot of analysis, some floor work where we're assembling our reflector for the satellite, as well as precise measurements. So a lot of different things that we get to do.
And what kind of satellites are we talking about? Are these the ones that power my TV, or what are we talking about?
So actually a lot of different things, and we have products that we've done for the Navy. We actually did reflectors for DirecTV as well. So a lot of different communication devices, basically. And they actually go beyond just antennas. The company, kind of our new slogan is connect, inform, and protect. And so it's a lot of different communication devices for anywhere from land, air, sea, and space.
So everything, in other words.
Yeah, everything. So we have like tactical radios for the military. So actually, if you saw the new Benghazi movie, they had a Harris radio on there.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So yeah. I, as a non-aerospace nerd, although I'm pretty darn close.
We welcome you.
Yeah, I would not have known about your company. So what sort of things do you do that I would know about but not realize that that's you guys?
So I mean, like the satellites that we use to communicate for like, DirecTV, so, you know, the signals that you need to get that information down to Earth, we do those giant reflectors that go into space that, you know, collect and beam down information for you to view on your television, for example. So it's definitely kind of more of a behind the scenes company, if you will. But we do a lot of different communication devices.
And let's back up a little bit and get into how you got interested in aerospace engineering.
Sure. So growing up, I really liked math. I kind of liked the thought of being able to describe the world with equations. So I did math and then got into physics in high school. And then I went to MIT in my first year. I took a class taught by a former astronaut, Jeffrey Hoffman, and it was just really inspirational. I mean, he described going to space as riding on fireworks, and I was like, oh, that's so cool. Like, I really want to get involved in that. And so taking that introductory course was just like, you know what? This sounds awesome. Like, I really want to challenge myself. And aerospace engineering was kind of deemed to be the toughest course at MIT. So I was like, I want to challenge myself. And so that's kind of how I got involved in it and just continue to be inspired by space and the unknown in the universe, as cheesy as that sounds.
So when you did your undergrad and graduate research, did you work on communication satellites and reflectors and antennas? Was that a thing you focused on, or did you move into that later?
I kind of jumped around all over the place. I think primarily because everything kind of interests me. So I'm like, ooh, I want to do that. Ooh, I want to do that. So in undergrad, I did take a capstone class where we built a small satellite. So I did some orbital simulations and satellite toolkit, kind of a commercial software. did some structural analysis and just a lot of different things, but actually did not work on antenna reflectors. And my graduate research was completely different. I was testing strength of materials using shock waves. So we used gunpowder to propel projectiles at really high velocities, and basically stuff explodes and you can measure the strength of the material from its particle velocity. So it's very kind of zoomed in. So I wanted to zoom back out a little bit and, applied to this company and kind of focused on my analytical skills, and they had this position to fill. So I decided to kind of delve into something new.
And is it as exciting as you hoped?
Oh, yeah, it's definitely awesome. I enjoyed my graduate research, but I like kind of working on in this area because it's kind of more concrete. You're like, oh, wow, cool. I helped make this reflector that's going to be flying into space in a couple of years. So, you get to kind of see what you're making, even though it still is somewhat theoretical with all the analysis. I also really like that I get to do a wide variety of things. So one day I might be, running some simulations in this in-house finite element analysis software that we have. Another day I'm coding stuff in MATLAB. And another day I'm out on the floor measuring stuff with laser trackers to get a precision alignment. So it's just kind of a lot of different things that kind of keep me inspired.
You just said you do a lot of different things. Is there sort of a pattern? Do you do, your analytical stuff in the morning and then go into the lab and measure something? Or is it today is I'm out in the lab and doing all these things and then next week, who knows what you're doing? Is there some structure or is it, whatever's needed?
Yeah, it's kind of more so like whatever is needed at the time. So it depends on where we are in the flow of the reflector. So for example, up front, you're going to have a lot more like design work. So we might have, proposal that we're working on for a new antenna system. So that's going to require running different trades in our analysis code. So it's kind of like designing the surface. So there's a lot of different knobs we can turn, looking at the size and depending on like the focal length that the customer might need. And there's kind of different configurations you can look at. So you kind of run trades like, okay, so if I do this to the surface, what does that mean for the accuracy of it and whatnot? And so you do different trades up front. You run like different temperatures on the surface, for example, depending on your orbital analysis. So you want to simulate, what your unit's going to see in space, that kind of stuff. And so that can, that can take a couple months to do sometimes, just depending on the scope of the job. And then, once you get more into the program phase, you still run some trades, but then you kind of progress more into locking out like, okay, this is a system we're going to use. So now we're going to plan for how we're going to build it. So, a lot of that's providing work to our, designers that are going to actually make the physical components, like the hard structure that supports our, mesh reflector. So I don't know if I actually went into that, but, primarily I work on what are called mesh reflectors. So these are gold-plated wires. They actually, the surface kind of looks like women's pantyhose, believe it or not. Super lightweight. I kid you not. Yeah, it's like, it's totally different, and I had never heard of this, so when I saw it, I was like, what? Like, that's pretty cool. It's super lightweight, and I think they actually, when they first started making these, I'm pretty sure they used women's pantyhose. but, we've refined our methods and they knit in-house wires.
You got a little more high-tech than that?
A little bit, yeah. You want it to kind of be a little more reliable. We all know how pantyhose can run, but...
All the time.
All the time.
All the time.
And I don't think you can put nail polish in space, so...
Do you have a favorite part of this whole process, or are they all sort of equally
I've done primarily, like, analysis work. I've done some work on the floor where you basically take this unit that kind of looks a little bit like R2-D2, and it does what's called really precise measurements using lasers, so you can get down into, like 2/1000ths of an inch of, whatever you're trying to measure. That part's pretty cool, but I actually do enjoy the analysis side of things and kind of running different trades and configurations, because, analyze data.
The true nerd is coming out.
Right? Yes. I'm totally nerding out here. You can stop me.
What's been the most surprising thing about this job?
I'd probably say the access that you have to what I call higher up kind of leadership in the company. So we are headquartered in Palm Bay, but the company is actually like 22,000 people now. We recently acquired Excellus. But that being said, I mean, I've gotten to meet our CEO and talk to one of our presidents and VPs. And the reason for that is they're just really open to give advice. So, you know, I'd go to a presentation or something that they were doing and follow up with an email and say, hey, thank you so much for your talk, you know, not expecting to hear back. And one of our presidents, and I was like, oh, hey, you know, if you want to grab lunch, I'd love to give you career advice. I was like, wow, that's really cool that, you know, people that are so high up and busy are kind of willing to send the elevator back down, if you will, and kind of talk to someone that's a new hire and give them advice. So that's been really surprising.
Is there a part of the tech of all of this that is sort of really exciting to you? I mean, talking about meshes that look like pantyhose that are really not. Like, is there something is there some fascinating new tech that's developing or changing that's just really exciting to work with or be
smart? Yeah, yes. I'm not actually sure that I can talk about it, though. But
that's okay.
Okay.
Too bad, but that's okay.
No, well, what I can say is that our reflectors range from anywhere from, like, 1 meter to 25 meter in size, so it's really cool that we can work on a lot of different types of units that provide different things that our customers need. So, yeah.
Okay.
All right.
I'll take your word for that.
So, Victoria, you say that you like the analysis part of your job a lot. In graduate school, did you do a lot of analysis, or was it more sort of experimental work?
So, yeah, so my focus was experimental, but I ended up doing a lot of analysis and a lot of simulations, mainly because my experiments, we didn't really have all the facilities to run them. And I think I realized in grad school that I gravitate more towards the analysis side.
Can you explain a little bit about what type of experiments you did or what your research was on?
Sure. So basically we use what looks like a giant cannon. You put gunpowder in there and you ignite it, and it basically propels these cylindrical projectiles, you know, that are on order of like maybe 2 inches in diameter towards whatever material you're trying to study. And so that imparts a shockwave into your system, and you can use laser interferometry to measure particle velocities and basically use a bunch of equations to figure out, you know, what the strength of that material is. So it's more so like looking at the materials, like material science and equations to describe a material.
Does that translate to what you do now, or is it just sort of the knowing the formula and the analytics of how to do analytics that is more valuable than, say, the actual specifics?
Yeah, I think, you know, honestly, I think the PhD just kind of taught me how to learn. I don't really do anything that I did in grad school aside from like, you know, the skills of knowing how to program, to learn different analysis tools. And I think that's actually pretty important for people kind of going into the STEM field or coming out of, you know, graduate degrees. If you want to try something new, you can, you know, kind of looking at those translatable skills of like, hey, I learned something really difficult. I can figure things out now.
Actually, I think that's a really important point, is that, graduate school teaches you how to research and to think and learn. And it's not so much the actual subject that you're working on, even though that's very important, but we're constantly learning how to do something new all the time.
Totally. Yeah. So,
that's important. I like that point. Emphasize that point. Okay.
Is there something that you, a subject area or a topic that you really want to look into or you want to study or work on, or some dream thing? I mean, do you want to be on the first manned mission to Mars? I mean, is there something out there that's on your bucket list?
I mean, currently, so I'm actually trying to gravitate more towards like interacting with the customer and kind of leading a little bit more of our business side of things for the company while also being involved in the technology. So broader perspective. But if I did have the chance to work on human space flight, I would definitely love that. So someday if I could be like in mission control or something, that'd be cool.
No big deal. We'll just put you out on Mars and see what happens.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Is there a particular reason you sort of are gravitating toward, I guess, the business side of things? Is that, does it interest you more?
I like the technical side, but I like the kind of interaction with people and being able to influence where the company goes and the type of technology we invest in. Kind of the business development side. So, for example, I recently attended a conference, Satellite 2016, and kind of got to be more at the front end of things. So it was kind of cool to just get to see what was going on in the community. And I think sometimes when you're kind of delving in deep into a problem, you don't get to see the full scope of what's going on. So not to say that I don't want to do the technical side, it'd be kind of like a combination of the two.
Well, I mean, I think it's really important that people who have, who do the business or friends and things do actually have a technical background. I think it really helps in terms of connecting.
You mean so you know what you're selling?
Yeah, a little
imagine
bit.
Imagine that. You're like, yeah, it's like talking to clients. Oh, yeah, of course we can provide you a 75,000 square foot surface area antenna. No big deal. Oh, half price? Of course. And the engineers are like, wait, what?
Yes, I definitely agree. It is very important to know what your company can offer. I think a lot of times, you either have the people that are people, if you will, that can talk to someone, and then you have people that are kind of behind the scenes, doing the kind of the legwork. And you're absolutely right. You kind of need those to come together to explain why science is important and why what you're doing can really impact people's lives.
Is there something sort of that has surprised you or interested you about working with antennas and those kind of things that you never realized before? I know you mentioned that it's kind of neat to be doing something that is tangible and that you may be using in the future, whether it means, getting your cable TV from it or not. But is there something you never knew about these kind of things that surprised you?
I think what surprised me is how much goes into it. I mean, you have people like my job where you're designing just the surface really for your antenna. You have the RF engineers that are looking at what type of kind of nominal surface you need, whereas we're looking at the materials we can use to make that surface actually happen. You have structural engineers that are kind of doing the analysis of the hard structure that supports your reflector interface, or sorry, your reflector surface. Looking at the connection to the bus of the satellite, looking at loads and all that kind of stuff. You have designers that are making different components that hold aspects of our surface. So we have these kind of like cords that connect things together. So it's just like the intricacies of everything that goes into it. And, on top of that, you have all your technicians that are assembling things. You have people writing your instructions to assemble these really, really precise objects. So it's just, yeah, the amount of detail and just the amount of people that kind of have to come together to make this thing work that people really rely on. I mean, you have units that are being used to convey information to the military, so it's definitely an impactful area.
Victoria, thank you so much for agreeing to be our willing victim.
You assume she's willing.
That's true. I might have paid her on the table.
Oh my goodness. Hey, I did not see any of that money. So.
Uh-oh. Yeah, but Victoria, thank you so much for doing this. This was fun. It's one of those things you forget, and you hear about aerospace and think about SpaceX and NASA, and you forget that there's tons and tons of other elements to that field just as important and probably more useful.
Well, thank you guys so much. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Like our show? Find us on iTunes or at scopepodcast.com and follow us online on Facebook and Twitter at Scope Podcast. This is Mumu Shu
and Lindsay Claiborne.
Our theme music was composed by The Copycats. Thanks for listening.